Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Intentional Life Podcast. We're so glad to have you here. My name is Ben Cornick.
And I'm Courtney Asher.
And we're coming to you from Christ the Rock Community Church in Menasha, Wisconsin. Best area in the whole United States of America.
Wow.
That's in the whole world,
we
really.
We just said that.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. We want you here.
Yeah. So if you don't live here, get here.
Get here.
We're excited to have you here. The Intentional Life Podcast, we're all about learning how we can live the intentional life of Jesus so that we can know what it means to make disciples of Jesus who make disciples of Jesus, mm-hmm. and how we ourselves can live that life of a disciple.
Yep.
And so we're excited about all the different things that we've already covered in this podcast. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the different facets of the intentional life. So we've looked at God time, which we do daily.
Mm-hmm.
We've looked at gather time, which mm-hmm. we do weekly. We've looked at group time, which we do consistently.
Yes.
And today we're going to look at go time, something that we think we actually can do continually.
Continually.
When we really understand it. And so so this idea of go time, you really think about the way that Jesus phrased the Great Commission itself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, think about it and make disciples of Jesus. He didn't say, pray about it, make disciples of Jesus. He said, go into all nations, making disciples. And so
right.
So this idea is that this is actually a very important part of the mission, is that we actually have to learn what it means to be people who go. And so, Courtney, as we get into this, what are some of the things that we might want to think about? Like, when we say go, what are a couple of the elements of that? Like, what are a couple of handles I can grab onto to say, this is what go time could actually look like for me in my daily life?
Yeah, that's great. One thing I think that's really important is, if I remember correctly, the translation there of go in the Great Commission is like, as you go.
As you go.
Right? And so it sets
like
up
as
this
you're going.
Tone of, as I go, I'm continually on mission. I'm mm-hmm. continually making disciples.
Yep.
I'm baptizing them and teaching them to obey all the things Christ commanded.
Yeah. And actually, what's really interesting about that is, so we use this phrase, like, wherever your two feet are,
mm-hmm.
like, then you're on
mm-hmm.
mission. And actually, like, that's a biblical concept all the way back into the Old Testament. Because when he said, when you go into the land that I've called you to take over, the promised mm-hmm. land, he said, wherever your feet go, like, that land will belong to you.
That's awesome.
And so essentially he's saying, like, here's this area I'm leading you into. And the Bible says the Lord will direct our steps. And so he's saying, wherever I take you, like, that's land for God's kingdom. And
that's
so it's
awesome.
This idea, like, wherever we go, we should be bringing the kingdom with us. Wherever we go, we have to assume that God has us there on mission.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I wonder, too, because I think we've thought about mission in particular in the past as, like, something we do in spurts, or that we're intentional about for a time.
Sure. Going on a mission trip.
Going on a mission trip. Yeah. Or we think, now I have the opportunity to intentionally share the gospel, so in this setting I will, because somebody asked me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we think, I'm going to serve in children's ministry on Sundays, and that's my time of service and mission.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think we've boxed in what Christ has called us to do, because we actually don't get to, like, check in and check out. It's not like clock in, clock out, I'm on now, I'm off now.
Mm-hmm.
It's, why has God put me here for such a time as this all the time?
Because
mm-hmm. remember, we're ambassadors of the good news. We're ambassadors mm-hmm. for Jesus Christ, and bringing him to people that don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a seek and save the lost mission, right?
Yeah.
A rescue mission. And so
that's actually, like, what we can live our lives doing.
Yeah.
You know, so this is purpose for us as disciples of Jesus. And, like, even the Apostle Paul in Acts 17, he gets sent to Athens really almost as respite. Like, it's
sure.
like he's kind of there to say, like, you need a break. You need to get away from all this persecution that's been
mm-hmm.
happening to you. So go to Athens and just kind of hang out for a while.
Hmm.
But he couldn't just be there and be like, well, I'm just here to relax. He's like, but there's people here who don't know
there's
Jesus.
There's still a mission. Yep.
And so he was disturbed by a lot of the things he saw while he was there. And he had to find a way to be able to share the gospel. And he found this thing called Mars Hill where he could actually go there.
Hmm.
And it was like kind of like TED Talks today. Like, they're like, yeah, We just want to hear the latest ideas. And, you know, so, you know, but Courtney, when I hear that, I could respond with going, wow, that actually feels really overwhelming. Are you telling me that every, I walk in any grocery store, every gas station, every school, I've just got to start shouting the gospel at people, or I've got to just start handing out, you know, Bible tracts to people. That's what we're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
So, or go on our website and order the new, tracts that we have for you. And, not to say there's anything wrong with those, but like what are some practical ways that we say like, okay, that feels overwhelming, but maybe we could boil this down to say, actually, this could look really practical in everyday life.
Yeah. So one of the things we teach here is that we want, in being on mission, we want to do two things consistently. We want to be, or continually, we want to be demonstrating and proclaiming the love of Christ.
Sure.
Simpler way to say that is to show and share. Right? Show Jesus, share Jesus. Demonstrate Jesus in how we live, in our lifestyle, and how we contribute in every facet.
Yep.
Demonstrating Jesus. How would Jesus be a part of this business? Or how would Jesus do my job? Mm-hmm. How would Jesus serve at this school? How would Jesus meet the practical needs of my neighbors? What would Jesus say, you know, to the drunkard on the street? Literally all the time, how can I be showing Jesus?
Yep.
And then how can I share Jesus? And so there's ways we kind of flush out and teach both of those concepts. In talking about demonstration first, we talk about character and conduct.
Yeah.
And so we demonstrate Christ by our character and our conduct. Character, I mean, it's flashy word, right? But we're just talking about who we are, like the essence of who we are. Our character, like what we're made up of, is what we believe, our core values, and what drives us and motivates us. And then our conduct is a result of that character. So our conduct is what we flush out and live out because of what we believe to be true. So in other words, what we're asking you is, if you are a Christ follower and you're going, I believe that my job is to be a part of this mission, to reflect Christ in every area of influence that I have, then my character should look like him. Like I should be seasoned and able to produce fruit because I'm abiding with Christ, right? And then my conduct will be a reflection of the fact that God is growing me into maturity. Any thoughts on those two from you, Ben? Character, conduct, demonstration, big words, but...
They are big words. So, you know, just to recap, we say, like, so when you're trying to show, like, what does it mean to go, we say, well, that's about demonstrating and proclaiming the love of Christ, or, you know, even just sharing and showing Jesus might be a more simple way to say it. And then when we say, when it comes to showing, it's our character and our conduct. So these are the two kind of major things that we can kind of give to people to say we're showing this. And you know, and there's a lot of Bible verses that can go with this, but one of them that comes to mind is like the fruit of the Spirit. When Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit,
right?
And so that's like you know, fruit has to be cultivated. It's all about the soil that it's been planted in, and then it can come out as like good, healthy fruit. So that's like the character is like what it's rooted in,
right?
And the conduct is like the fruit that comes out, right? Years ago, I was part of this missional group where we would go to college campuses, reach out to people, and. One time there was this guy who came to us because we'd actually done this thing where we did like preaching on the box in the middle of the campus, but it was all about sharing our testimony.
You were one of those guys?
Yeah, but that was the whole point is that as people walked up, they'd be like, oh, great, it's one of these guys. And then as they get closer, and we'll talk about testimony in just a few minutes, we'd be just sharing our testimony. That's all we would do.
Nice.
And we'd say, if you want to learn more, come talk to us. Well, this this group of atheists was walking by, and they were like, well, this is really intriguing. And so they stopped, and they talked to us. And we said, why don't you come to one of our gatherings? And they came. And they came a few weeks in a row. And one of them, I don't know where he is today. I don't know where his faith is at. I don't know if he ever became a believer. But he pulled me aside after one of the gatherings, and he said, I have to tell you something. He goes, this group has really changed the way I see Christianity. And he goes, now don't get excited. I didn't like become a Christian, so like I know how you guys get excited about that. And he's like, so I don't want to get you too excited. He goes, but this, he goes, I've always really disliked Christians because every time I've ever met a group of Christians, they've just been judgmental and harsh and like critical. And he said, but this group of people, like, he's like, you guys are just so kind. And like, you really listen to people and you're really welcoming and hospitable. And he's like, you're really like, you know, like you just like love people. Like I can really tell you actually care and you're just really real. And, and he used a lot of words that today we use these words, but like really he was describing the fruit of the Spirit. He had experienced the fruit of the Spirit through a group of Christians that was actually serious about being disciples of Jesus. Yep. And so it gets me excited when we talk about things like character and conduct, because we might be like, well, no, like I've got to find a way to like, you know, stand on my desk at work and preach the gospel or stand on my desk at school and preach the gospel. I'm like, hey, if the Holy Spirit tells you to do it, do it. Mm-hmm. But actually, if you did that, but your character and conduct were lacking, then it would actually hurt the gospel. They'd be like, man, this guy's always telling people about Jesus, but like his character is really weak. And his conduct is like kind of like not what I think Jesus would act like if I met him, you know? Yeah. So I think it's actually really important that those are two pieces that we do have to hold on to and we really can't do without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Right, right. And I mean, they'll know us by our love, right?
Yeah.
So there's evidence that when we look like Christ, we'll be offering and exuding love that will indicate, man, this person's a Christ follower.
Yeah.
So we should look different. And it you know, looks like going the extra mile and thinking, man, in my workplace, if my boss is asking me for an extra 15, I'm going to give him an extra 25. Like, why I'm going to go above and beyond, right? Or, hey, I'm, you know, the foreman on a job site, and I'm going to care about these guys a little extra and bring them some food. By the way, side note, if you're a foreman, food goes a long way with your people.
Yeah. And remember that Jesus was a general contractor before he became a rabbi.
And he fed people.
He fed people.
All the time. Yeah. It's biblical.
He was known for it.
But even the life of Jesus, right? It's like he was healing people, performing miracles, feeding them, meeting practical needs, in conjunction with sharing the gospel. He did both. And so there is the element of sharing the gospel and sharing our testimony. And we'll get to that because it's very important and I don't want to shy away from that.
Yep.
But man, if the fruit of what people are seeing in my life looks like Christ, I've seized that opportunity to share when they're ready to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And thinking about other ways that you can be on mission in just your family, you know, why are you in your family? How many times do we go, man, I just hope somebody would send somebody to my brother. You know, I hope God would get a hold of his heart by this, you know, just randomly meeting someone who would share Jesus. And it's like, wait a second, you're the Christ follower in the family. Like you already have a living example of the gospel to share with them.
And you can still pray for those things.
And you certainly.
But you should be willing to share that. But again, you know, and we'll talk about share a little bit more in a moment. But sharing is only going to really feel valid to people if you have shown them that character and that conduct.
Yep.
Because we all could point to some example somewhere, whether it's something in culture, whether it's something that we experienced in our own family or a church that we grew up in, or even maybe here at Christ the Rock, like that you say, like, here's a person that I know was preaching Jesus and was sharing the gospel, but as I got to really know them, I found out that they really weren't great at showing Jesus. Like they really weren't great at that conduct and that character. They weren't great at demonstrating what it means to be like Christ. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
And so when we talk about discipleship making movements and living the intentional life, it's like, this is a huge piece of it. And so the share piece is super important. But if we don't know what it means to show the character and conduct of Christ to people, then you know, I've heard people say things like, people will only care about how much you know once they know how much you care.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So we gotta earn it.
Yep, and you gotta think, you are wherever you have influenced the representation of Christ.
Totally.
An ambassador for Christ. Your job is to bring the kingdom of God, you know?
To that place.
And so, and that is something that we can step into continually. We can always go, man, how can I be Jesus to my family? How can I be Jesus to my friends, my neighborhood, whatever?
Well, a real quick example is that when I was a teenager, I barely understood any of this. I just was like learning and reading the Bible. But I thankfully had a really good discipler in my life at that time who's like, well, whatever you're learning, apply it and do it.
Right.
And so I worked at Red Robin Burgers.
Nice.
And yeah,
unlimited fries.
For real, especially if you work there.
You should go there. It sounds good.
Yeah. Next podcast.
Next podcast will bring you to Red Robin.
But the what was really cool was that, for example, I had this one boss who just I felt like was just being really harsh towards me all the time. Mm. And I mean, they were harsh towards everybody.
Okay.
But everyone kind of resented this manager and, like, would kind of treat them with, like, and this manager knew it. Like, they knew nobody liked them, but they didn't care. And so it was just this really antagonistic relationship. Well, I just said, well, the Bible says, like, to work for those that I'm working for like I'm working for Jesus.
Yes.
I'm like, so I'm going to work for this manager as if I'm working for the Lord. And that's going to be really difficult, but I think there's a way I can figure this out. And not to toot my own horn, this is more like to say, like, when I was like 16, 17 years old, I actually started to be like, when this manager would ask me to do things, I'd be like, hey, I'll do that right away. Is there anything else I can do?
Right.
Help me to, because I'm just like, this is how I think someone would work if they're working for Jesus, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, and so long story short, that manager actually started to get really interested in my faith over time because they're like, why are you like this? And I literally said, because the Bible says that I should be working for the Lord while I'm here. And they're like, what? Like, they did not expect that answer to come out of a 17-year-old. Yep. And then I got to really witness to them.
It's awesome.
So it's just an example of, like, when that conduct is there and that character is there, even if you're like, look, I'm a baby Christian, I barely understand this, doesn't matter. Just apply what you know and allow the Lord to use that demonstration to help you to go continually.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's a great example. So we're going to talk about share now. And I want to say, in light of everything we just said, you can't just demonstrate, right? And so sometimes
give me a witness.
Sometimes it's more comfortable for us to go, I'm just going to show Jesus in how I act, and I'll never have to say anything about it.
Yeah.
Right? I'll never have to actually tell somebody I'm a Christian. They'll just know, or they won't know, and God will reveal it to them a different way, right?
Yeah, just magically.
But it's kind of this, let me wash my hands of this situation.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to just do nice things and plant seeds, and somehow people are going to hear the gospel.
And I will say, I've got a bone to pick about that real quick.
Yeah,
because people say that I think they attribute it to St. Francis, that he said, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words.
Right. Yes. Okay. I've heard this.
Now there's a profound, really cool truth there, right? Like your life should be a gospel testimony in and of itself, the way you live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. But from the way I've read history, St. Francis, like, preached to the birds, literally, because the Bible says preach to all creation. So he's like, well, I don't want to leave anybody out just in case. So he preached to the birds, the squirrels, the anything that was living, the plants, like the trees. He was just like, in case they need to know, I don't know. He was just trying to be obedient. I'm like, this guy preached to everybody, including the birds. There's no way that man lived his life without preaching the gospel to every single person he met.
Interesting.
And I'm like, so the point there, I don't think, is to say don't use words.
Mm-hmm.
I think the point he was trying to make is that your life needs to demonstrate it, which we've already said.
Yep.
And so I only say that to say that there's so many Christians today that I think feel exempt from actually sharing the gospel and actually sharing their testimony because they're like, well, I am living like Christ in my testimony, or I mean in my conduct and in my character.
Yep.
But if you're really living like Christ, well, what did Christ do as soon as he walked into any town? The first thing he did is it says that he would announce that the kingdom of God was near. He would preach the gospel the minute he showed up somewhere. So if we're saying, well, I'm actually being Christ-like, well, then if you're being Christ-like, you're also going to be sharing the actual words of hope that people need to hear.
Exactly. I mean, if we are Christ's sent ones, his messengers, right? And it says in Scripture, like, how are they going to hear unless someone tells them?
Yes.
And how will someone tell them unless they go, right? Mm-hmm. You're going. You're going continually. You're on mission continually. You're the one. You're the person. And I just want to say that wherever you are, you're the person. If you're on vacation, you're not exempt from this. Mm-hmm. Look for spiritual opportunities to share the gospel.
Absolutely.
I heard a really cool story, actually, of a pastor who was like, pastor, so I'm teaching and preaching all the time, and I'm shepherding people and discipling them and blah, blah, blah. And I go on vacation, and I'm like, vacation time, right? He's like, I'm done. I'm not doing it. So he goes on this cruise, and he's just, checked out, right? And all of a sudden, he feels like the Holy Spirit put on his heart, like, start talking to the cruise ship, the people running the cruise ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whole team of people out there leading and whatever. I don't know how to cruise, but they're doing work there, right?
Yeah, they're on, doing, managing they're doing their cruise ship work.
Managing the cruise ship. Anyways, and he's like, you know, no. And literally, he talks about, he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm on vacation.
I'm on vacation,
like,
Holy
somebody
Spirit.
Else.
Leave me alone.
And he's like, and it goes against all of the discipleship concepts, right? It's like, I'm not going to build a relationship with these guys. I'm here for 1 week, and then I'm gone. I don't got enough time for that, right? Or like,
ain't nobody got time for that.
Or like, somebody lives around these people. That's who God should tell them to share the gospel with, right? Mm. Whatever. Anyways, for days, he just felt this pressing burden, and finally, he just went up to one of them and was like, hey, can I ask you a question? And just out of the gate was like, do you guys know who Jesus is? And they're like, no. He's like, can I tell you? Yes. And this whole, like, staff gave their life to Christ. And he's like, it was, he's like, what if I would have missed that? You know? Yeah. What if I would have missed, like, sharing with this whole group? You know, and that's God's heart. It's like he sent that guy to share the gospel. So remember,
and a really quick note on that, like if you ever find yourself on a boat and God's telling you to like tell people about
Jesus,
yeah,
you should do it.
You should do it. Otherwise, you might get thrown into the sea and eaten by a giant fish. Like it feels a little too much like Jonah to me. Like, no, I'm not doing that. Somebody else can do it.
Right.
And I mean, but like, we've all had moments like that where it's just like, no, not right now.
Right.
Not this moment.
You're on the airplane and you're like,
totally.
No, this is a 4-hour
conversation. I put in my headphones. I'm like, no, I've got a book to read. I'm watching this movie. And sure enough, though, some of my greatest moments of evangelism have happened in an airplane.
Right.
Have happened when I've been on vacation. Have happened in the most random places where it's not like I planned on it. One time on a Greyhound bus, led a guy to the Lord. You know, I'm like, it just happens.
Just happens.
But like in your mind, though, you're like, no, this is time that I'm off and I'm doing this thing. But
or like it's not right. We're not sitting at a coffee shop intentionally having this conversation about spirituality.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a second. That's not how God works all the time. Remember that like he has sent you where you are for a reason.
Yes.
And so keep your eyes open to that and share the gospel. Share your testimony. So real quick here for the gospel, we define that as the good news of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. Gospel means good news. What is it about? Jesus Christ, the kingdom. Because he always says the kingdom of God's at hand, and we're all about building and establishing that kingdom here. And then salvation. How can you be saved?
Yep.
And so we teach people this is, you know, that's the gospel. It takes longer to flush that all out, of course, than just one phrase. But learn how to tell people the gospel and walk them to repentance with Christ, right?
Absolutely.
And then we also encourage people to share their testimony. And so testimony is really powerful because it's your story. It's where, you know, God intersects with your life. And so we teach people, you know, a real simple kind of framework around this is, what was my life before Christ? What was my life at in the moment that I gave my life to Christ? What's my life after? And it's not always that cut and dry. You know, you have little kids that are like, man, I gave my life to Christ when I was 9, 8. I don't know if I remember what it was like, right? Or you have people that are like, man, I don't remember really one specific time, but it was kind of this progression of a year or 2 years where I just kept like feeling God draw me to himself. And I eventually, you know, repented and confessed and gave my life to Christ. So whatever it would be, just how did God intersect with your story and share that because it's a testimony to what God has done. And that's where it becomes really, really powerful.
Well, and like, for example, like some people, you know, like they kind of fall in the camp that I fall in where it's like I have more of like a dramatic testimony where it was like I very much like was very far from God, didn't have really almost any biblical knowledge, was in a very broken home, met Christ, and God has literally transformed the entire way my life operates. And so I've met people who say to me, well, it's so cool that you have a testimony. I just don't have one. And I'll be like, tell me more about that. And they'll say things like, well, I kind of, like I gave my life to Christ when I was 4.
Right.
And I got baptized. And, you know, and it's like, and so they're like, I've always been a Christian. Or they're like, I don't know when I gave my life to Christ. It just kind of happened at some point. And I've just always been at church. And, you know, and I'm like, well, the Bible says they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So like the gospel, the blood of the Lamb, like that he gave his blood for us. That's the gospel. And I'm like, but then the word of their testimony. I'm like, so any story that centers on Jesus is a testimony.
Yes.
And so, for example, I met somebody just a while ago who said, like, they pretty much were like, I don't have a testimony. I said, well, tell me your story then. Like, okay, sure. Like, let's believe you don't have a testimony. What's your story? And they pretty much said, I went to church for, like, the longest time. And then in my mid-20s, there was just this like day where like I heard this message and it just like really broke through something. Mm-hmm. And I felt like my faith had almost like died. And, you know, and then they're like, and then it was like God was just like really becoming real to me again. And they started reading their Bible and they started getting involved and serving and, you know, like sharing, you know, the gospel with other people. And they're like, and it's just been so exciting.
Hmm.
And I was like, do you realize that that's a testimony?
That's a testimony.
I'm like, and guess what? My testimony might reach somebody who grew up in a really broken home and needs to hear that God can rescue them from that situation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, your testimony, though, it's going to speak to somebody who's like, look, I've been in church all my life, and I'm just not even sure if any of this is real anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can look at them and go, I've been in that exact position, and here's what I can tell you. Keep pushing through. Keep trying to let the Lord do his thing, because there's going to be a moment where he really sparks something different in you. And, you know, so I have to help people to say, like, we, no matter who you are, if your story involves Jesus being a part of your life, well, then that's going to be a testimony.
And I think you can continue to testify, right?
Totally.
You have other testimonies in sense of like, what has God done in my life, or what does he continue to do?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are things too that really help proclaim and share, you know, with words, the gospel.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So it's not just a one and done kind of thing, but what is God doing in your life still? And what story do you have to share? So really with, you know, again, with go, we're intentional about demonstration and proclamation. We demonstrate through our character and conduct. We proclaim through the gospel and testimony.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just leave us with this. As we think about going continually, it's really a lifestyle of disciple making. It's thinking, how can my whole life reflect Christ? I counted the cost. I'm his now. What does it look like to reflect that always?
Yeah.
And recently we had a training on safety. Remember this with local sheriff or whatever? And he shared some examples about how his perspective is kind of filter of looking through life lends itself towards a safety perspective. You know, he's like, when I sit in a restaurant, I sit with my back against the wall and I look around for all the exits. And I know if there's anybody who perceives to be a threat, or if I talk to somebody at a gas station and they have their hands in their pockets, I ask them to take their hands out just in case so that they don't, you know, pull something on me. And I'm going, wow, this guy's living this lifestyle around safety, around protection, like to serve and protect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the DNA of what he's thinking and filtering his life through.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, what would it look like for us to take that example and go, how do I filter my life through the lens of disciple making? How do I filter everything I do through being on mission with Jesus?
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry that much about being safe because I'm not that worried about dying, right? God's going to use me as long as he's going to use me. But I am worried about doing the best I can on this earth to bring God glory and to build his kingdom.
Yeah.
And so as we go forth, I just want to encourage everyone to consider that. Where do you have areas of influence to be able to bring the gospel, bring the kingdom, and be Jesus to someone that you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so let's do that. As Paul said, let's make the most of every opportunity. So every opportunity that comes our way, let's leverage it and make the most of it for God's kingdom. So thanks for tuning in, and be blessed.
We'll see you next time.